and welcome to the Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald for your ears. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me, as always, is World Herald Prep Recruiting Specialist, Mike Sauter. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I feel like we should have a special guest or four today, but we don't. So we're just stuck with us. It's okay. We'll get through it.
Do you smell that?
Smell what?
Football is in the air.
August.
It's August. The Hall of Fame game is tonight. Fan day is tonight. Nebraska's training camp opens. We have
high school football practice doesn't start for another week.
Yeah, you don't sound too excited about that though.
No, I am excited, but it's a week. I'm ready to just get rolling here, but I gotta wait a week to actually, you know, go to practices and stuff.
Get out there, smell that fresh grass.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be real sweaty and hot in the first couple weeks it normally is. So, you know, I don't know about fresh grass. It's going to probably smell like BO and sweat.
Way to ruin the vibe that I had set for this podcast.
Hey, you know, I'm just keeping it real.
Please don't. We have our Super 6 coming up. We have our prep football previews rolling on Omaha.com and anyprepzone.com.
Yeah, all the way from 8-man to just we're 8-man 2 to working all the way up to A, I think, right?
Yep, we started at 8-man 2. We are in Class C2 right now. Class C1 next week, working our way up to B and A leading up to the first week of the regular season. We'll also have Sauter's practice reports coming up.
And the preseason or updated football play rankings. I will be working on those. We'll have those, I think, midweek next week.
I will stay out of your mentions that week.
Along with, I believe we're going to do basketball too. So I think I'm just going to knock them both out next week. So kind of a busy week, just parsing back through notes and the different spreadsheets that I have for different things. And so it'll be, be busy. So I think next week is our target for the redoing or updating the football player rankings for the 2019 and 20 classes. And then probably add a little bit to the 21 football class, and then basketball, same thing.
Well, I am looking forward to those. I'm sure we'll have a discussion on them.
Right.
Coming up on today's show, we have some Class C players to watch. I put together a little list here of some guys to watch. I'm sure Sauter will add some notes as well. And then I tasked Mike with putting together a list of his top 15 games of the 2019 high school football season. And of course, he is horrible at following directions.
No, that's not true. What happened was when I dug into it, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of good games in the first 4 weeks in both Class A and B. And I was like, there's like 20 right here. So let's just do the first 4 weeks of Class A and B, and we'll just kind of talk about, you know, the highlighted games in those. And then the next time we come back, which probably will be next week, I'm guessing, we can do the first 4 weeks of Class C and 8-man.
Yep.
So that was my plan. I pivoted off the original plan and didn't tell you.
That sounds typical.
That's exactly what happened.
So we'll be previewing the first month of high school football in A and B, giving you what games you need to be keeping your eyeballs on. But first, let's thank our sponsor, Look Architectural Coatings.
Right. That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Architecture Coatings, specializing in commercial wall and glass graphics. Wall and glass graphics, pretty much. There's other things they do. They can do, they can install windows and things. But a lot of, like, window clings you see on arenas and, you know, the colorful thing when you go to the doctor's office and there's, like, glass and there's some cool color on there or artwork. That's what they do, too. So, yeah. Also, they can do, like, banners and things if you need those made, too. Yep.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into this. Class C players to watch, and I've got a list here. I have to start off with a player from my favorite high school, just because this mascot is my favorite in Nebraska high school. the Chanticleers, Ord wide receiver Riley Warner. Last year he had 6 interceptions, led the team. He had 17 receptions, and he is going to be expected to step up and replace their 3 seniors, lead that Ord offense.
Yeah, Ord had a great year last year, so you know, hopefully they can get back and do what they can do. And Warner is going to have to be a huge key to that. So we'll see. I mean, they brought a lot of people back, and frankly, you know, I guess C1 is, I would say, not as strong because you don't have like an Aurora with Baylor Shireman this year. So that's kind of opens things up a little bit.
And then from Auburn, I have Brody Darnell, Bailey's brother.
Yes. Yep.
He's kind of a jack of all trades for him, quarterback, yeah. Wide receiver, so, defensive back. He scored in, feels like, every possible way in 2018. 4 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing, 1 receiving, 1 interception return.
It's kind of like Bailey did the same thing. It's kind of, they used him kick return a bunch of different ways. And Brody's going to be like that. And a very good baseball player, so multi-sport athlete there. And Auburn still should be pretty good, so you look for them to be super competitive again this year, just like they were last year.
All right, and then I have Pierce running back Carson Ostrich, totaled 1,220 yards and 14 touchdowns last season.
Pierce is always good, always traditionally good, Northeast Nebraska team and just team in general, so... yeah, he should have another big year, I would imagine.
And one note I have here, not necessarily a player to watch, but a situation to watch. Norfolk Catholic will need to replace Dylan Kotz. They have a quarterback battle this fall, senior Nate Brungart and junior Caden Cunningham. Mm-hmm. But replacing Dylan Kotz will obviously... And Ethan Piper will obviously be the biggest thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're... Again, always good, always going to be good, but replacing those two guys, that Dylan Kotz is like, you know, one of the best in the history of the school, if not the best players in general. Going to be maybe hard to do, but for some reason they always just find a way. Coach Beller has won far too many games to be doubted on any of that, so I think they'll be probably just fine.
Yeah.
That's just my assumption.
All right, Sutton running back Jackson Perrion had nearly 1,200 yards rushing, scored 18 touchdowns last season. He also had 900 yards passing. Coach Steve Raymer said he has the potential to break the school's single-season rushing record.
Yeah, I mean, like, talk about dual threat, whatever you want to say. He had a good year last year. They had a good line last year, too. So, and I saw them actually, he got a little banged up. In Grand Island in June, I saw them out there. They look good and really formidable. They run that thing a lot of option, but they can catch you. And they caught, even watching them in Grand Island against like a Northwest, Grand Island Northwest, and some teams like that. I mean, they pop some big plays like through the air. So because they're just so used to. Yeah, going against the run. They're big. Their line is big. 2 huge linemen at tackle spots. So they're going to be right there as well, I would say, if they can stay healthy. Not a lot of depth, but not a lot of Class C teams do.
Yeah.
But they're very big and definitely able to run the ball.
The next guy I have here is part of the Nebraska Jacks movement.
Right.
South Dakota State commit Oakland Craig tight end Wyatt Segrin.
Yeah, you know, kind of a freakish athlete. I would, you know, I'm not going to get crazy and you know, say a ton of stuff about that. but he's 6'7", 220, can really jump. I mean, he can dunk easily a basketball.
Runs
really well. All those sort of things. So I mean, he's a physical kid, doesn't shy away from contact. Again, multi-sport kid, really good athlete, played a lot of basketball in the summer too. So he's one to watch if they can get him the ball. And I think they probably can. Just from the few people I talked to their AD a lot, and you know, he thinks they're going to have a pretty good year also.
And the last couple names I have here are a pair from BRLD, Bancroft Rosalie Lions Decatur, one of our many co-op schools. Mm-hmm. Quarterback Will Gatzemeyer. He had over 2,500 passing yards last season, 30 touchdowns. He also added over 1,000 yards on the ground and 16 touchdowns. Oh, and he earned C2 All-State honors as a defensive back with 80 tackles and 2 interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and then, you know, the next guy you're going to talk about. I think BRLD, I've said this before, I think BRLD, they won the boys' state championship last year. I think they have a very legitimate shot of winning football and basketball this year, pulling that kind of double. It's kind of one of those deals when you have a special class or group of players or mm-hmm. athletes, that's what you get, and that's what they have right now.
Yeah. We've seen that a lot, especially in Class
B and
Class
C. And the next kid
C.
you're going to mention, I love him. Like, he's an awesome kid, yep. three-sport athlete.
Team high, 59
receptions.
I'll
let you go ahead and say that.
Oh, how kind of you.
I know.
Team high, 59 receptions, 1,169 receiving yards, 19 receiving touchdowns. Lucas Vogt.
Yeah, one of the best basketball players in the class, one of the best wide receivers in the 2020 class. Or 2021 class, I'm sorry. Not much more you can say. Baseball, basketball, football kid, just all-round stud. The only thing that is affecting maybe his recruitment if he wants to be a basketball player, I would say, is just his height. He's athletic enough. He can dunk and do it. I mean, quick, twitchy. Scores, just makes kind of game-winning plays on a basketball court and on a football field, obviously, is a heck of a wide receiver because, one, he's fast. Two, he can really jump and can really catch the ball. So those are – I mean, he's a pretty special kid. They got a good line, too. Like I said, they could win basketball and football in this year, I would say. That's a pretty fair assessment, or I guess pretty fair projection, if you will.
Yeah. All right. Let's preview week one here. Let's go week by week. So Class A and Class B. We have the Thursday night opener, Burke at Lincoln Southeast.
Yeah. So transitioning into just kind of games to watch here. Burke Southeast is the Thursday night kind of season opening game. A lot of talk. Burke, obviously the defending state champion. Southeast is probably the best team in Lincoln on paper. And we'll just learn a lot, I think, about both teams. Burke has to replace a quarterback. Tyler Chadwick was there for years, a 3-year starter. They got to replace Hickman, Henrich. Watts is a guy, like the guy, right? And then Southeast has a huge line, So those are, that's kind of maybe their advantage, but Burke is no slouch there also. Burke has athletes, and so does Southeast. Isaac Gifford is a freak of an athlete at safety. He'll probably play a little receiver, running back. They'll use him a bunch of different ways or as much as they can. I'm really looking forward to it because it'll be like, okay, Southeast, you're supposed to be the team this year, right? That mm-hmm. that has a chance to break through this metro streak of state champions and all of that, and we'll see just how good they are that night. I think Burke will be a good measuring stick for Southeast, and likewise, Southeast will be a very good measuring stick for Burke. Michael Payne's a guy for Burke that I love him. Like, he is super quick. They could use him on some jet sweep action. He can play some wide out. Yeah, they can even line him up in the backfield. And then Jalen Russell is a running back that's going to carry the load, I think, for them. So
next in line for them.
Yeah, at running back after James Burke's gone. So that game is super intriguing on the Thursday night, the opener kind of Thursday night game. I am Very much so looking forward to that one.
And then we have another Thursday night game, Papillion La Vista versus Papillion La Vista South.
Right.
Early in-season rivalry.
Right,
game.
And there's kind of a couple of those on, I guess, that first week. In Papio, Papillion La Vista Monarchs should be better this year. I expect them to be better this year. And Papio South has Will Swanson. Rogers is really good. Trajan Lanier as defensive end is like virtually unblockable. So that game should be pretty good. It's always kind of high scoring, and the whole town, it's packed. The whole towns seem to be there, it feels like. That's always a competitive game, and I don't see it being any different, I guess.
And the rest of week one, I'm just going to run it down here, Friday games, Omaha North versus Creighton Prep.
Yeah, North Prep is, I don't want to just glance over that one. I mean, that's...
Right. I figured run them down and then...
Yeah, North and North Prep will be another measuring kind of stick game for both of them. North has crazy good athletes in the back seven of their defense. Crazy good. Same thing on offense. Like, they have a bunch of running backs, a really good wide receiver. But their line play, their defensive line play, and Hunter Push, does he have to play both ways? How tired can he get? I mean, Hunter Push is a really good offensive lineman. So that'll be a kind of test. And I know in June they were trying to figure out the defensive line, like, what are we going to do here? So, and North kind of changes some things up offensively. It'll be kind of different to see what they're doing. And then Prep, Mason Armstead's a really good player. A.J. Rollins has an offer as a tight end from Nebraska and Iowa State. So, again, some talent on both sides and pretty good measuring stick first week. Teams, see what they got. And both should be top 10 teams. I would very much so assume that.
The measuring stick seems to be the theme of week one.
Right.
Elkhorn South versus Elkhorn, Grand Island Kearney, Lincoln East, Lincoln Pius, the 10th, Millard North, Millard West.
Right.
And one note with Millard North here, they start with Millard West.
Oh, so their schedule
at Elkhorn South,
crazy.
Millard South, and then at Creighton Prep.
Yeah, their first 4 weeks, I mean, it's about as... reminds me of North last year. Had a really tough first 4 weeks. And Millard North, Omaha North last year. Millard North's schedule, just when I was going through it, I'm like, oh boy, like this seems a little daunting.
Mm-hmm. It's an early daunting.
You go in 2-2 and you're like, hey, we're good. Feeling good.
Yeah.
You go 4-0, you're way good. Just because of the matchups there. So Millard North is I think gonna be back a little bit. It wasn't too long. I mean, it was like what, 3 years ago that they won the state title. People forget that they won a state title that recently. I mean, last year not great, made the playoffs. It been kind of a building process. They played a lot of young guys on purpose. I think that's something. The skill positions are going to be maybe a challenge, but their line play should be really good this year. We'll see how good their skill will be. They got Jadis Ellis back. He was at Lincoln High last year, transferred back to Millard North. He's a burner and could use him again multiple different ways. They should be right kind of back in the mix, I would say. And, people beat up on them last year a little bit and the year before. But, I think they're trending kind of in the right direction.
And it's an experienced coaching staff there. Fred Petito knows what he's doing. He's been there since the Stone Age.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the history of ever, right? So in the state. So he deserves all the praise he can get, and he's won a ton and has his way. And we'll see what ends up happening there. So I think, like I said, the first 4 weeks for them are going to be tough. Really tough. And starting with Millard West, the first game is going to be, pretty tough because I expect Millard West to be very good this year.
And I feel like we'll learn a lot about them that even if they are, you know, similar to North last year, even if Millard North right. is 1-3, but it's all close games, we're going to be like, right. okay, look out for Millard North the rest of the year.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, their schedule is just so hard. I mean, if it, even if it's, I mean, let's just say they go 0-4 just because.
Yeah. Yeah.
They still should be fine. Like, I mean, and be a playoff contender and probably someone you don't want to play in the first round or whatever, if they can stay healthy and all that stuff. But I think they'll be back. I just their first 4 weeks is so hard.
Yeah. Like it's a gauntlet.
It is a massive gauntlet. I mean, it's, yeah. So.
All right, let's jump to week one in Class B. We have Bennington at Scutt and Seward at Waverly.
Yeah, I mean, Bennington has a nice young talent, and they have had for a while. Obviously, they're a growing community, so you're going to have more kids playing football and that. So they have some really nice young athletes. We'll see if they can kind of match the tradition, power, all that of what Scutt is. We'll see if they're ready for that. We'll find out real early if they're ready for that
yeah.
or not. You know, how close they are to being, you know, one of the better, if not kind of elitish teams in Class B. So that's kind of why I put that in there. Just that one's a little sort of intriguing for me to see what they're going to be like there. And then Seward Waverly's kind of always just a good, nice rivalry. You always have good, tough football players. Linemen are good there. Seward has Tyler Lenz there, a good player that's gotten some Division II interest and offers and stuff. So that's why I put, I guess, Seward Waverly in that
yeah.
one.
All right. Let's talk week two. We have Scutt at Roncalli and McCook at Grand Island Northwest in Class B. We already talked a little bit about week two, that Millard North at Elkhorn South.
Right. That'll be... That again will be tough. Elkhorn South is going to be really good. So, mm-hmm. And then Scutt Roncalli. Roncalli made it to. Roncalli almost beat Scottsbluff at Scottsbluff if Jack Dulzer doesn't break his arm and keeps playing. I mean, they were up by a ton. Like, I think, what was it, 4 or 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
And then ended up losing. So, Roncalli, yeah, they lost Alex Rogers, who is like one of the best athletes probably in the history of the school. But Dulzer's coming back, the good line. They should be good, and Coach Cassing does a good job of being creative on offense there. So, again, we'll see just if anyone – if someone in kind of the metro area is going to be able to challenge Scutt. Well, that'll yeah. be one that maybe they can, maybe they can't. So we'll try and maybe see what they have there.
All right. Week three, Millard South versus Millard North, as we mentioned. West Side, again, at Lincoln Southeast.
Yeah, West Side is going to be one of those teams that I think at the beginning of the year is going to be super undervalued. I think they're pretty good. I think they're going to be really good, actually. They have a very good quarterback in Peyton. Mm-hmm. They have Avante Dickerson, who can play running back. He's one of the 50 best players in the 2021 class in the country, according to just about everyone. and obviously defensive back, all that, and they're going to maybe, looks like they might move them safety a little bit and things like that. So play a little bit of all over. Taggy is a really good wide receiver that's gotten a lot of D2 stuff. So just their offense, I loved it. I mean, they will 6-yard out route you to death, and then they'll just pop one on you with a long run or something. And Taggy is one of those kids that can just catch that 6-yard out all day long. And Peyton can get him the ball. And then you have Haberman as a lineman. I mean, they have a lot of talent there. And I think they're probably going to get overlooked at the beginning of the year by whoever does the ratings. Stu does our ratings, and then whoever, you know. There's so many people that do team ratings. I think they're going to be so good, way good, really good. So, again, West Side at Southeast, very, 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 very good, if you will, matchup in week three to kind of, it's one of those early season tests to just see how good either one of those or both those teams are. That's kind of why I put that in there.
One other note about Westside, former Husker kicker Chris Brown, his son is the kicker for Westside, Kobe Brown. Well, he kicked last year for the Westside freshman football team.
Right.
So it'll be yet to be seen if he'll be varsity kicker. I thought that was an interesting note. Moving on, then, week three in Class B, we have York at McCook, Scott's Bluff at Grand Island Northwest.
Yeah, two non-Metro, I guess, games. York at McCook. I went to McCook at York last year. It was a great game. I think both teams lost a lot. But both teams return enough to be pretty good. So that one has turned into a pretty good rivalry. And then Scott's Bluff at Northwest, Grand Island Northwest. This is the closest Scott's Bluff will get to the metro area. And they likely will be pretty darn good again. They finished runner-up and beat last year. So I expect them to be pretty good this year again.
They'll need to replace Garrett Nelson.
Yeah, they have a bunch. They lost Chris Busby, running back. They lost some people, but I think that that they have enough in the cupboard there. It's not totally bare. They might lose one or two games or something, and Northwest, just that travel is kind of far. So
yeah,
and Northwest has enough. They're going to be young, but a quirky enough offense to kind of you got to prepare for. They could sneak up and get them, but that game should, again, be a really good football game. So that's kind of why I put those two in there.
You know, it fits, but I don't think I've ever heard an offense described as quirky.
Oh, it is. It can be a little bit, so that's why I said that.
Yeah. All right, week four.
Week four in A is really, really good. Three really good matchups that I'll let you tell us about.
Elkhorn South at Bellevue West. Mm-hmm. Millard South at Millard West. Omaha Burke at Omaha North.
Yeah, so Bellevue West schedule is kind of light, I guess would be the term. It's not great, right? So if you just look at traditionally these teams, you know, when you're trying to figure out wild card points and stuff. Elkhorn South, Bellevue West. Elkhorn South goes to Bellevue West. Both teams should be awfully good. It should just be a really good game. I mean, it'll be a nice test for Bellevue West. It's probably their first real test of Lincoln High in week one and Bellevue East in two. Lincoln High is completely rebuilding. Bellevue East, Bellevue West hasn't been close the last, I don't know how many years. So, when you get to week four, this will be the first kind of Bellevue West, okay. Like, let's see what you got.
And I think we know what they have.
Yeah, we do. I'm just saying it'll be a close one. And then Millard South, Millard West, two teams that could be undefeated by then. Two teams that are likely to start in the top five in Class A. Two teams that return a lot, including quarterbacks. Rivalry game, a lot on the line there. And then Burke North has turned into a great rivalry. Yep. In the last couple of years. The games have been awesome. I feel like I've seen those two play like 12 times in the last 3 years, whether it be like practicing stuff, all that. So against each other, I mean, 12 times. So,
yeah.
Games are always good. They always get a little chippy. Not a lot of love lost, I think. Between some of the players, they both, you know, try and are OPS schools and they're trying to get kids to go to their school and all that stuff.
Two coaching staffs that know each other very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of respect there. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of love lost. That game has always been sort of chippy a little bit. So I'd be interested to see what game I'm at that week. But yeah.
And speaking of gauntlets, in B, we have Scott at York, and I mean, we're going to feel all right about Scott after four
weeks.
Right.
But
Bennington, Roncalli, I can't remember who they have week three, but then at York.
Yeah, so Scott's clearly the favorite in Class B football and basketball. No question.
No.
Like, no one.
No one's, I think no one's doubting
that,
them.
Yeah, if you said that right now, there's no one that doubts that one bit, I don't think. I'd be shocked.
Well, if you ask the players on each team, maybe someone.
If, I don't know. Like, I don't. From everyone I've kind of talked to and the coaching staffs I've talked to, even from York and McCook and everywhere, everyone's trying to get Scott. So Scott beat York last year in the playoffs. Last year in the regular season, and then I think again in the playoffs. I can't remember right, but I know that game because I was there. York traveled to Scott. It was a great game. Came down to the end. Scott was sort of in control. Then York came back, and then Scott kind of took it away a little bit. Tyson Gordon interception at the end. But that game at York, York plays at a baseball stadium. It's a little weird, like, to play, like, set up and all that.
Would you
that.
Say it's quirky?
Very, very much so. It's in a city park. I mean, there's a neatness about it. I mean, they have a gigantic cannon that if you're standing in front of in York after York scores a touchdown and you forget that it's coming, you're going to jump really high.
That doesn't sound like personal experience
that
at all.
That might be from personal experience. Happened to me last year. I was like, oh, man, I knew that was coming, and it just, like, shocks your body. But it is an awesome home atmosphere, and I'm pretty sure there isn't a whole lot of love lost as far as York community and fans and stuff for Scott. Just because, like, it feels like a little bit of a rivalry there because they played each other and all the sports and been really good in both basketball and football the last couple years. So it feels like there's some stuff there.
I don't think the Skyhawks are going to get a warm welcome.
No, they won't. No. And the thing about it, too, is if there's enough fans, which I think there will be for Scott, you have to stand on the infield and, like, there's enough bleacher space, so on the visiting side, and the sideline literally is, like, right there. So it's just a neat, kind of cool East Hill Park, man. It's this neat little cool place to host a football game, and that one should be a lot of intensity for that one.
So we're sending you to York for week four. Not Burke, Omaha North, or Millard South, Millard
or
Elkhorn West.
South Bellevue. Week four is a great week for Class A and B. A good week for Class
A and
B. Well,
you know my mantra. Every week is a great week.
Right.
All right. That's all we have for today. Next week, we'll probably have some Class B players to watch. We'll wrap up our first month preview and whatever else is on Sodder's brain.
Yeah, we'll have a lot. I mean, next week, there's just going to be a lot to talk about. So, like I said, we'll do kind of updated player rankings things. We'll try and do some Class B players to watch. We'll probably look at Class C games to watch in the first couple weeks or however we want to do it. However, I maybe decide last minute to change. but there's a lot we'll touch on. We might get a player interview in here, coach or something too. So, yeah, pretty good.
We're getting into the most wonderful time of the year.
Is it?
Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check us out, omaha.com/subscribe. Make sure you are able to read everything. First week, 99 cents.
Yeah, and a deal right now that we're running, I think this month, the month of August, is all the recruiting content, sports stuff. We're kind of running a promotion. It's 99 cents, and then it's the $5.99, I think. So,
yep, sports-only subscription, 99 cents, first month. I misspoke there earlier. All of Sodder's recruiting reports, nebhsrecruiting.com. He's got, you know, not so much AAU recaps. Those are kind of wrapping up. But we have Husker football. You're going to want all of that training camp content.
Put it this way. I write something pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
So there's something new virtually every day. When football season starts, I will go to, in the first 5 days of football practice, I will be at a minimum of 7 football practices in 5 days. and write something from each one of those. And probably even have content on a kid's recruitment here and there during that week too. So, yeah, there's a lot there.
I don't think you need any other reason.
Right.
But if you did, we have our college football preview section, dining reviews, political coverage.
Super Six is coming.
Super Six, investigative reporting. You can also sign up for the Prep Zone newsletter at omaha.com/signup. Check us out, omaha.com/podcast. This was a busy week. We had the Half Court Press, the Pick Six podcast. We have Kevin Coffey's podcast. We have the Dining podcast, Omaha Dines with Sarah Baker Hansen. Check us out, anyprepzone.com. Stu's ratings, football ratings will be dropping soon with our high school football preview section, along with the Super Six that I think we've mentioned five times today.
Right.
We are really excited for that. iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, hit that subscribe button. Until next time, thanks for listening.